chapter 10. I'm going to read verses 22 through 30. And this is the message that I was going to preach last Lord's Day evening and didn't because I had to finish the one from the morning. And now I'm ready to do it. The message is, why is Hanukkah important to us today? Or why Hanukkah is important to us today? And if anyone doesn't know what Hanukkah is, it's the Jewish Christmas. No, it's not at all. You'll see what it is in a minute. But it's a... Let's look at John chapter 10, verses 22 through 30. Then came the feast of, it says dedication, but that is Hanukkah at Jerusalem. And that's the word. I mean, the Hebrew word is Hanukkah. It was winter, and Jesus was in the temple area walking in Solomon's colonnade. The Jews gathered around him saying, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I did tell you, but you do not believe. The miracles I do in my Father's name speak for me, but you do not believe me because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one." What I'm not reading in terms of the next verse is the Jews picked up stones to stone him. Father, bless this study of your word as we look at this biblical festival of celebration, Hanukkah. In Jesus' name, amen. When I grew up in my Jewish neighborhood in New York City, Christmas was this utterly mysterious holiday. I heard that people had trees growing in their living rooms. And I would just wonder, what is going on here? What is this about? My family would take us down. We would go down to Rockefeller Center. I don't know if you know about where they have this ice skating rink. And we'd go ice skating there. And they had this 60-foot tree. I think it's the largest Christmas tree in the world each year. It's right there at Rockefeller Center. And I was... wonder, you know, as a little kid, man, you know, they put trees like this in their living room. What's going on here? This is wild. And I would wonder about it. It was just so amazing to me. And I would think, I'm sorry I didn't bring my menorah. I keep it in my office all the time, my menorah, my Hanukkah menorah, in my study at home. And you would see what we get. You get this tree filled with lights, and we get this little, you know, 2-inch by 6-inch brass menorah with little tiny candles, and that's it. But, you know, it was a holiday that, because we didn't have any Gentile people in our neighborhood, it was something that we looked at from afar. It was just like wondering. We would talk with each other, you know, what do they do? You know, what kinds of things are happening? Do they climb these trees? Do they, you know, are they fruit trees? Do they pick fruit from? I mean, I didn't know. It was like the tree seemed to be the real thing there with it. But we did not remain without any kind of celebration. We had a holiday, but it was a completely different holiday. And growing up, I assumed that the holiday that we celebrated was, this was my understanding, this was a holiday that we Jews invented so that we would have something while all the goyim were, I don't know, running around the tree. I now know otherwise. The holiday that we celebrated was the biblical holiday. It dates back over 2,000 years, and it's mentioned in the Bible. We read that passage just a few moments ago. Hanukkah ended yesterday. I was going to do this when Hanukkah had just begun the night previously. Last week would have been that, I guess, first or second full day of the celebration. What I want us to do is to see this evening what this holiday is that is mentioned in the Bible and what it means to us and why it is important for us today. First of all, though, I want to just take a few minutes and give you an overview of the origins of Hanukkah. It was 175 B.C., 175 years before Christ, and Syria was ruling Israel. It was a time during which every imaginable evil was happening to the Jewish people. It was not only that there was a cruel tyrant who ruled over Israel, but it was also a cruel tyrant who not only ruled over them, but loved and enjoyed humiliating them at any opportunity he could. And he found many. When you're a cruel tyrant, you know, you sit around, and life can be boring, even for a cruel tyrant. You know, what do? You say, okay, let me think. What is it that could make these people, oh, just writhe in anger and just hate everything more than me? And he would do things, and you'll hear some of them in a minute. During this time, one of these Jews that hated what this tyrant and his armies were doing to his people and to his nation, and most importantly, to his beloved worship of God. That's what triggered this holiday. What was happening to the worship of God. This righteous man, by the name of Mattathias, he observed an officer of Antiochus. That was the cruel tyrant. He observed him, offer up a pig, which is as unclean an animal as you can have as far as the Jews were concerned. I mean, growing up, I was not particularly Orthodox. I went to the synagogue every day and I worshiped sometimes every day, for seasons, every day, morning and evening, in the synagogue and all of that. But I still did not consider myself particularly religious. But I'll tell you this, pork made me feel sick growing up, the thought of it. I know you guys, Joel looks over and goes, wouldn't like being in our place, watch us slaughter a couple. No, I wouldn't have enjoyed that. But he took a pig and he offered it on the altar of God in the temple. This is exactly how rebellions start. Mattathias saw this, and he took this officer and killed him. He killed him because of the way such a blasphemy offended him, because it was an offense to his God. And you know, what's amazing, just on an applicational level, looking ahead 2,185 years from that point, we see things happen that are equally blasphemous toward God, and we blink. And then the next week, something else happens. And we pay no attention to these things. This man, he basically gave up his life. He that's what it was equivalent of doing. He killed this man for doing this one action. I mean, it was the straw that broke the camel's back. And then he called out for Jewish men to fight with him against these blasphemous, idolatrous Syrians who were crushing the Jews and desecrating the temple of God. Mattathias followed this call that he made, and he followed it with a cry. And the cry was this: whoever is for God, follow me. And immediately following him were his sons, Yonatan, Yochanan, Shimon, and Judah. Judah became known as Maccabee, or Maccabeah, the hammer. He became the leader of a small band of rebel Jews who refused to submit any longer to the tyranny of Antiochus. He went by the name Antiochus Epiphanius, the one who is the epiphany, the appearing of God. And he set his own image in the Holy of Holies. Under Judah's leadership, a band of warriors precipitated a rebellion against the armies of Syria. And after 3 years of warfare, a battle occurred in a town, we all know this town, it was the town of Emmaus. And Judah and his warriors blocked the road to Jerusalem and what turned out to be the final battle of that rebellion. And the rebel Jewish band of warriors was victorious. Their joy was quickly dulled or dimmed as they returned to Jerusalem and saw that the temple had been completely desecrated by the Syrians. Torah scrolls had been destroyed. Pagan gods, including an image of Antiochus, filled the temple and the Holy of Holies. Even in the Holy of Holies, this was done. Pigs had been offered again on the altar. And that was the horror that faced them at the beginning of what turned out to be an immense cleanup operation. And the holiday is celebrated on the day that this cleanup operation ends, when the temple is Chanukah, dedicated. It was the 25th of Kislev. That Kislev corresponds to December. That means the date in the Jewish calendar is the 25th of Kislev, is the date of the beginning of Chanukah. So there is a biblical holiday on December 25th. It isn't Christmas. It is Chanukah. On that day, the temple was rededicated. But there was a problem, because the dedication demanded, it was an 8-day dedication and demanded oil. This is in terms of the Jewish liturgy and worship. And all they had was a tiny amount of oil. That's what that menorah I was telling you about with the 8 candles. Each one was to represent the day, and on the first day had 1 candle, then 2, then 3, 4, 5, 6, and then all 8 on the last day were burning. And they placed that candle with that oil lamp going with that small amount of oil, and it should have been used up very, very quickly. And despite that, the amount of oil increased over the 8 days of this temple dedication, and it burned for the full 8 days, long enough so that a new supply of oil was made according to the law. And for Israel, they saw this 25th day of Kislev of December as a day which brought the rededication of the temple of God to its completion, and they saw it as a great miracle of God, and they decreed that this celebration was to be honored forever. Chanukah, then, is the holiday of dedication. When you have churches that talk about dedication, the only dedication holiday in the Bible or dedication ceremony is on, is it Friday night or Friday, the 25th, is Hanukkah. It started with the dedication of a few men who refused to see God treated with contempt. It persisted with the dedication of a small militia that had God's glory at the forefront of every thought and action of their lives. It continued in the dedication of a temple which was cleansed and made ready for worship. And it found its fullness in the ministry of Jesus. That's what's so amazing. Go back for a minute with me to New York City, to the South Bronx. I'm growing up thinking, there's Christmas out there in that big Gentile world. Here's Hanukkah with a few Jews celebrating it. There is never to be a connection between us. It can't be. And there is Jesus, for whom Christmas is celebrated by the mass of Gentiles, hundreds of millions around the world, and he is celebrating Hanukkah. Celebrating Hanukkah. And he shows that the reality of dedication is to be understood in the face of his life and ministry. That is what the dedication is really from the temple is to point to. In other words, the dedication of the temple was necessary in order to point beyond the temple to the living temple. In John 10:22, we read, at the time that the feast of Hanukkah was taking place in Jerusalem, Jesus was walking in Jerusalem. Jesus was there. He was about to go into the temple. He had a message for his people. He had a Hanukkah message. I mean, many of us will listen to the Queen's message on Christmas. We will. Here is the King's message on Hanukkah. It's coming up. I mean, his message is coming up in our message tonight. He has his Hanukkah message. And it turns out, what's amazing about this in terms of the Hanukkah festivity and celebration is that this is one of his most startling sermons in the entire Bible. Here's how it happened. The Jews gathered around him and they said, "How long are you going to keep us in suspense?" Well, this is amazing. How long are you going to do this to us? If you're the Christ, if you are Mashiach, tell us plainly. We want to know. Come on. Now, are they being sarcastic? Or are they saying, we really want to know? And if they're saying they really want to know, or if they're saying being sarcastic, and he simply takes them dead serious at their word, because we read that Jesus answers them. "I did tell you." That's the beginning of his answer. In other words, you already know exactly what the answer to your question is. You don't have to ask me another thing. But you don't believe me. The miracles that I do in my Father's name, that alone is enough. That speaks for me. But you don't believe me because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. Listen, I give my sheep eternal life and they will never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than anything, anyone. He is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. Again, the Jews picked up stones to stone him. Again, John 8, there's only two chapters. No, there's nine in between. Between John 8, when he says, Echye Asher Echye, he goes back again to one of the greatest events in Jewish history, where Moses meets God at the foot of the mountain and is sent back to his people in bondage. And he says, who shall I say sent me? And God says, tell them, Echye Asher Echye, I am that which I am. And Jesus takes those words in John 8:58 when he refers himself to one who's greater than Abraham, who's seen Abraham's day, who's lived beyond Abraham's day, and has seen it, and Abraham has seen his day and is glad. And he says, the one speaking to you, Echye Asher Echye, I am that which I am. And what do? They take up, they want to know about him. He tells them and they want to kill him. Same thing's happening here, just a chapter later. Just a few thoughts, a bit of time later. And once again, they're wanting to stone him to death. Here on Hanukkah, Jesus breaks the suspense and plainly tells them what they say they long to hear, that the long-awaited Messiah is here and that he is that long-awaited Messiah. I'm the one, you've got it. That's what he's telling them. And the response of the people who get it, the response of the people who had urged him to reveal the truth of his identity to them, is to turn on him and to attempt to stone him to death when he grants them their request. That is their response to being granted their request from him on Hanukkah. He gives them a gift with one of the most beautiful, poignant, perfectly directed, sensitive, awesome, and awe-inspiring messages, and they want to kill him. On this Hanukkah day, Israel is gathered together in order to commemorate the rededication of their temple. But in the midst of that gathering, while their intention and their concentration is focused on the temple, suddenly something happens. The living temple is in their midst and declares that salvation belongs to him alone. That's what he's saying. Salvation. That's you, what you want? Look no further than my name, Yeshua. And my mother told me they're going to name you that because you are the one who will save Israel and save your people from their sins. And he says, I and the Father are one. Echad, one essence. Unbreakable in our essence. He declares that he, Yeshua, is Israel's Mashiach HaMelech, the King Messiah, the Savior. He is God himself, and that we are to dedicate ourselves to him. And when we have done so, he declares that no Pharaoh, no Antiochus, no one, no Persian, no Iranian, no Babylonian, no one can ever harm even one of his people. That God's people are safe and secure in him. That's his Hanukkah message. And so, as this menorah is being lit through that entire season in Jewish homes all around the world, it's being lit to remind the Jewish people that the true worship of God was restored through the unyielding ferocity and dedication of Judah, Maccabeah, and his followers. And that such courage smashed pagan idolatry, smashed the darkness. Even so, for us as believers, a new dedication is taking place. Because it is the dedication, not of a temple, and not of the light of that temple, but the living temple, and the light of the world. This holiday of Hanukkah is important to us, and it's important to us today. It coincides with the celebration of the birth of the Savior. And it does indeed remind us, but not of a baby's birth. Instead, it reminds us, you see, of something else. It reminds us of the overcoming of despair. And the despair, especially of spiritual darkness. What if you left a pig on the altar and said, ah, look what's going, it doesn't matter to me. What if we leave the blasphemy, the hatred of God, the lawlessness of covenant-breaking people who have a history of a biblical basis in our nation and in our lives, and forget it and say, it doesn't matter. Let the stench of secularism and atheism wash over us. Who cares? We can eat, drink, and be merry. Forgetting the last part of that, tomorrow we're dead. So, this holiday is meant to remind us of what pierces the darkness and breaks through death through a temple that's far greater than that temple, through the final temple, Jesus Christ. Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up again. He calls himself a temple, John 2:23. For he himself becomes, as the living temple, he becomes the place of living sacrifice for our sins. His body is the place upon which such a sacrifice is made and made complete, never to be bettered or perfected any more than what took place that day on that garbage heap outside of the gates of Jerusalem. The message of Hanukkah is the message of the triumph of the light. And this is the message of Christ, who says that he is the light of the world. And then in Matthew 5:14, he says, you are the light of the world. That's how close the identification of his people is to be with him. He does not just light the temple. He is the temple. Just as he is the light of the temple. The light that lightens, he says, every man. Freeing all of us who trust in him from darkness. Freeing us from uncleanness. Freeing us from blasphemy and idolatry, freeing us and leaving us all fully and totally cleansed. In seeing all of this, I want you to see why Hanukkah is important to us. I want you to see it, why it's important to us today. The reason, again, it's simple. Before a holy God, there is a final dedication. Or perhaps we can look at it, there is a final rededication. It's the dedication which rests with you. For you, my friends, are a temple, as Hebrews 9:11 says, not made with hands. You are, as Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, living stones being built up as a spiritual house or temple for a holy priesthood to offer up a spiritual sacrifice which is acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. That's what we are here for. We become that temple. In the absence of his physical presence with us, we take on the status of a living temple built up by living stones. We are the living stones. Mick Jagger is a rolling stone, then friends, you've got to be, you're a living stone. You are living stones in a living temple. What is that spiritual sacrifice which is acceptable to God? It is us. It is ourselves. God calls us to a deep and lasting dedication to himself above everything else. The word dedication means to consecrate. So it's the festivity, it is the celebration of consecration. And of course, the temple, being cleansed and being consecrated, dedicated to God for his use and for his glory alone, is what's at stake. So what is it for you? Will you, seeing this pattern in the temple, realizing it's being communicated to us for us, will you commit yourself to that dedication, to that consecration to God for His use and for His glory alone? Will you commit yourself to be fully given over and fully dedicated to and for the Master's use? That's what it's about. Will you let yourself be a Hanukkah vessel? Will you let yourself burn for Him? Will you find that if you dedicate yourself to Him, you will go beyond all that you are and all that you have. That you, like Judah, can become a hammer, a chosen vessel, fighting with power for the glory of God. You can be a truly living stone, burning brightly in a living temple comprised of every believer on the face of the earth who ever called upon the name of the Lord in truth. I want us to leave Hanukkah, peering back in our history, back to the temple. The temple which was the high point of this holy and special day. The day when all Israel was celebrating its dedication, the dedication of that temple. But I want us to move forward and remember that in the special, the most special moment of Hanukkah, as it's described in John chapter 10, verses 22 through 30, the final temple, the temple that's made without hands, Yeshua Himself, the light of the world, was giving eternal life. He wasn't just giving a dedication for a temple, a new life to a bunch of stones. He is giving eternal life to living stones. So hear Him, friends. Hear Him as He says in John chapter 10, verses 27 through 30, "My sheep hear My voice. I know them, and they follow Me. I give them eternal life. They shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of My hand. My Father who has given them to Me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of My hand. I and the Father are one." This is the Hanukkah message. This is the dedication. This is trusting in Yeshua and receiving the eternal life that He promised on that Hanukkah night long ago. And when you trust Him, you too can know His voice. You too can live and never perish, because He is one with the Father. He will keep you in His hand. He is God Himself who is with you, and He will bless you with life and a call to deep and abiding dedication and consecration in Him and to Him and for Him today and every day of your life. And that, my friends, that is why Hanukkah is important for all of us. Today, we are reminded of the consecration, the dedication at the heart of Christian living. That the living stones commit themselves to be cleansed, to be a house worthy of habitation by the Lord Himself. Knowing this then, and remembering this, let us dedicate ourselves to Jesus. Let us do this for the first time if we have never done so before. Let us become one of His sheep who hear His voice. Or let us renew our dedication to Christ if we already are one of His sheep. The temple was there, it needed cleansing. The living stones have been cleansed by God, need cleansing. Let us commit ourselves to dedication. Let us commit ourselves to consecration. Dedication and consecration to God for His use and for His glory alone. To commit ourselves to be fully given over and dedicated to and for the Master's use. To allow ourselves to be a Hanukkah vessel and to burn for Him. Father, thank You for this great celebration of our dedication in Yeshua as living stones in a temple that is being built up as a habitation for the Lord. And may we fit in with all wisdom and knowledge, accepting the place you have given us and doing all that we are called to do for your glory and honor in the Messiah, the living temple, the Echya, the I Am of today and eternity, the one in whose name we pray. Amen.